For the Silly with the Lugans, we are live on site tonight at Sugar Fire at the Reserve next door. It's Mitch, with me is Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
All right.
And finally, we get the gaffer on. Anthony Pulis is joining us live here with our loving fans in attendance. That was pretty half-ass.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is a real treat for us. We haven't had a coach on the podcast in 2 years.
It's funny because it's true.
Now, before we start, I do want to thank Sugar Fire for having us out here and setting us up. And I will say we went to Kansas City last weekend at Kansas City Joe's, and Sugar Fire is better than Kansas City Joe's. I don't care what you say.
Wow, that is a brazen statement.
It's true.
It's because Kansas City Joe's doesn't have a This Is Silly sandwich.
That's true.
They announced that today. We have the hamburger or cheeseburger with brisket, peppers on it. It is delicious. And we had a side dish of French toast. So it was pretty awesome.
All right. We're going to do... Matt Bird's yelling at people in the audience.
Not yelling at anyone.
Just gesturing.
I thought we'd start with, you know, Ant, you've joined us and you've had now 7 games in charge. Mm-hmm. Just kind of your overview of how things have gone and maybe are we where you want to be or what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of good things, some things not so good. But as I've said all along, when you sign so many new players at once and there is such an overhaul with the squad, it does take time to click. And I've said this a lot, it is a process and it's going to take time. But I'm fairly pleased with where we're at this stage of the season. I do think we should have more points than what we've got, but we can't change what's happened over the course of the last 7 games. All our focus on is now is getting ready for the game on Saturday against Portland, which will be a difficult game because they are a lot better than what they've been the last couple of years. With all due respect, they've changed things a little bit with regarding they bought some older players in, using a lot more MLS guys, so it's going to be a tough game, and we've got a tough stretch coming up, so we need to be ready for it.
Before the season started, after 7 games, if someone had told you, hey, you know, you'll only have lost 1 game, would you have snapped their hands off?
Yes, I think so. Having said that now, having played the games, that game we lost in San Antonio, I still feel like we did enough to win that game. Take the 2 poor goals that we gave away out and the other chances that we created. On another night, we walk out of that game with 3 points, but I don't want to get into the habit of talking about going back over old ground and what could have been, what should have been. It is what it is. Every game we go through it as a group on video. We talk to the individuals, we talk to the team, and it's important that we learn from it and improve. And I think over the course of the 7 games, I'd like to think we've improved steadily, and that will be the case now moving forward.
Instead of talking about things that have happened in the past that you're not pleased of, tell us about the things that you've really, you know, you're really hanging your hat on, so to speak.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think the culture that we spoke a lot about at the start of the year that we were trying to create and try and implement has been a massive positive. The team spirit and the camaraderie amongst the group of players we've got has been fantastic. I think when we've gone away on the road to see how well they get on together, and this might sound cheesy and corny, it is like a family, it's like a group of brothers. And that was my aim, because I'm a big believer in creating that culture first and foremost before you then start talking about performances and tactics, which obviously is extremely important to me as a coach. But the culture that we are creating is there for everyone within our environment to see. And I'm glad it's been that way, because that's a concern. And again, when you bring so many new players in, is everybody that you sign, that you bring in, that's in the group, going to buy in? And I think for the most part, we've had that, which has been extremely pleasing. And I think that over the course of the season, that will get stronger. And I think that the performances on the field will get stronger and they'll both marry up together.
I think us as fans, we've noticed that the players seem to be smiling a lot more than seasons past for us, and a lot more approachable as fans. You know, we can go up to them and talk to them, and they're a lot more outgoing, and how can I say this? They just seem happier than squads past. I mean, is that something you don't just look at their technical ability, their skill, you actually look at their moral fibre?
Yeah, 100%. Because again, back to the culture. Culture is built on on morals and values, and in my opinion, and that was the biggest part of the recruitment process in the off season was, yeah, we want good players, we want talented players that tick boxes regarding soccer players, but do they have the standards, do they have the values, do they have the morals that we want, that I believe is going to help us be successful as a club with time? And that's why we've got this group of players, and they all obviously possess those values, and I think you've seen that as fans, we've seen it as a staff. They all want to get better, they're all extremely hungry to improve, to progress as individuals, but more importantly, to be successful as a team. And I think that will stand us in good stead moving forward.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it there about the team aspect. I mean, every guy we've had on the pod that always talks about, and we do have some competition for places. I mean, we've got four guys up front that could be starters at any team in the league. Mm-hmm. And they all talk about, you know, as long as we win, you know, I just want to do my part, whether Ant says I'm starting or bringing me in at the 60th minute. Is it hard to juggle those personalities sometimes to get them to buy into, maybe I'm not starting tonight, but I have to be ready when you call me?
Extremely difficult. I'm not going to lie. That's the most difficult part of the job, is trying to keep everybody happy is impossible when you've only got 11 starting spots. But the standard was set at the start of preseason. We had a meeting the day before we started training, a presentation about culture, values again, of what we expect, that it's we, not me. And that is what is going to get us success as a team. And if we're successful as a team, then the individuals within that team will have prospered and would have done their job. And for me, from experience, there's nothing better than being part of a successful team. And again, for the most part...
It can make heartache go away if you win, right?
Exactly. I think, yeah, and like I said, I'm a big believer in honesty and being open, and I try and communicate with the players as much as possible. And conversations that I have with certain guys on a Friday or a Thursday when I'm letting them know they're not going to start are not easy, but I would like to think that they respect that rather than not being told. And I mean, I'll give you an example. We had a meeting this morning. We went through the video of the Swope game, and at the end of the video, again, emphasized that we've got four games in 12 days coming up with probably only 15 or 16 players to select from, which isn't ideal because of the injuries you've got, but the message is every single player is going to play. So there may be some guys that won't start on Saturday, but then they'll probably start on Wednesday at Galaxy. And then OC will probably have to rotate, and then we have to rotate again for Open Cup. So no soccer team in the modern day era ever achieved anything with just 11 players. If you're going to achieve anything, it's going to be with the squad, and getting everybody to buy into that has been important. And it's something that we have to keep emphasizing and reinforcing on a daily basis.
And that's one of the things that I keep hearing every time we have these guys on, when we talk to them beforehand off mic, when they can say what they want. Everybody keeps saying that there's that respect for you coming from where you do, having been a player in the league, having coached in the league. You know, like, this isn't your first rodeo. Mm. Right? They respect that. They get it. And to a T, every one of them say, that's a guy I wanted to play for because of that experience.
Yeah, well, that's nice to hear. I mean, obviously, I've got a huge amount of respect for all the players that we've got. As people and as players, and I want the best for them. And I think it does help that I'm young, and it wasn't that long ago that I was in their shoes.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys you literally played with against.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I obviously played with Corey, coached against him. Probably, I think I played against Kyle Gregg, a couple of the other guys, when I was at Orlando. And I think, again, like I say, having not finished playing that long ago, I've got it fresh in my mind as what it's like as a player. And again, I've been preparing for this position for years, ever since I was probably 23, 24 years old. I knew I wanted to be a coach. So everything that coaches and managers did, I would write down in my journal, things that I liked, things that I didn't like. I try and mold it into the style that suits me. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination, because I make mistakes every day, and I want to learn and I want to get better. But this is the way I am, and I'm... But for the most part, I'm not going to change.
I'm happy because we haven't lost in a while. So you keep doing what you're doing. I'm fine with that. This not losing thing is fun.
Yeah.
We're not used to that.
Let's talk about, you know, you had a good couple of years in Orlando, but obviously it's a different situation. Now you're the head coach of the A team. Mm. How is that compare and contrast, you know, things you like, maybe some things you miss about being a part of a bigger organization, or do you just love having your say every time?
Now, first and foremost, I love having control of a group of players that is my group of players, or our group of players that we are preparing to win a game on a Saturday. Whereas
you're
at Orlando,
not gonna get a shock phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas at Orlando, we had a group of players that we were working with that we would prepare for a game, knowing that we're probably going to get given 4 or 5 players a day or two before the game. We're going to have to adjust. But I knew that that role that I was in there was a fantastic grounding for me because I was a head coach of a team in this league. I was challenged a lot, and it made me versatile. It made me adaptable. But I knew, and I always had it in the back of my mind, that this is preparing me for the next position of being a head coach of an independent team, which I'm obviously very grateful and very fortunate to be in now. Listen, there's a lot of things that you get within an MLS organization that's fantastic that we don't have here, but this is the position we're in. The players understand what we've got, and I think that they do get treated fantastically well. This is with no disrespect to other USL independent teams. I know what they get and what our guys get. And is it perfect? Of course it's not. There are things, and there's a lot of things that I want to improve, and over the course of time, hopefully we'll be allowed to do that. But I'm extremely grateful to be here. I'm loving every minute of it and really enjoying working with the players and the staff and the people at the club.
And maybe, like we talked about, the surprise phone call where you have to get 4 guys in the next night because for the A team.
Yeah.
Now, though, we've got a couple guys go down in the midfield.
Yeah.
You got to scramble to find a loan.
Exactly. That's the other thing. Whereas at Orlando, you had a couple of injuries and you knew that maybe there was going to be, you had enough guys within your USL roster, or you had 2 or 3 of the better academy players you could bring up. And we never had any issues getting enough players for training. Whereas to try and have an 11v11 practice game the last couple of weeks has been impossible. So we've had to be creative. Tim Leonard's had to jump in as a striker and a centre back, and Max has had to jump in as a right back a couple of times, which hasn't been pretty to watch.
But is he trying to angle for a contract? Because he thinks he can still play, right?
He's been good. He's impressed me, actually. Getting fit, we may have to stick him on the bench soon.
Tom, get out the checkbook.
Yeah. But no, like I say, for the most part, it's been good. Having a small squad as its pros and its cons, it enables you to have a closer knit group of players that all get on and all know that they're going to play. But with the stretch of games we've got coming up, it's not ideal. But we work in an environment where we don't make any excuses. We spoke about at the start of the year, when we get a problem, we don't complain. We try and find a solution, and that's what we'll work to do.
I'm going to be selfish for a minute. Last week we signed Eddie Opoku. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this guy. So tell us about our new loanee.
Yeah, so Eddie is somebody who's come across our radar last week, really. I mean, with Austin Martz having the injury, we were disappointed with that, obviously, because Austin had started off the season really well, and we knew that we had to bring in somebody in a wide position that was going to help. So first and foremost, thanking Columbus Crew and Greg Berhalter for allowing him to come here. A young wide player who's extremely quick, extremely dynamic, extremely mobile.
He made a little bit of an impact when he came
in.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential. He's come from UVA, a good program where he was successful. Obviously got drafted to the Crew this year, and is somebody that can play wide left, wide right, at a push, could play underneath the striker. And again, is somebody that's an attacking threat in behind because of his pace. But he's young, and he lacks experience. But he's a great kid who, in the 3 or 4 days he's been with us, has bought into the values and the culture and the environment that we've got here, and so far we've been pleased with him, and we're gonna need him and everybody else over the course of the next 6 weeks.
How long have we got him for? Do you know yet?
He's here at least until the OC game, and then we're gonna revisit it with Columbus, see where we're at with our injuries, see if they'll allow him to stay, and kind of take it from there.
7 games into the West now. Is there any difference between the East and West for you, or are they just games you want to win?
No, you said it. It's games that we want to win. I mean, I've found myself watching more games of the opposition this year, just to try and get myself used to the players, the systems that teams are playing.
Did they buy you an ESPN Plus contract?
Not sure if I should say this. No, they didn't. I actually paid for it out of my own money.
$5 a month out of his own? That's
But it's
shady.
Fine.
It's commitment. That's what that is.
No, it's fine. It is what it is. I like to be prepared. So, yeah, I've watched as many West games as I can. But like you said, Matt, I mean, for me, and this is the message that we've communicated with the players, every game we go into, we want to win. I mean, I hear people talk about, oh, well, get a point on the road and win your home games. That's not the way I work. The way I work is we go into every single game prepare the players, make them aware of what their roles and responsibilities are to enable us the best chance of winning. And that's what we'll continue to do right the way through.
How quickly do you clear out your mind? Like, you know, the game, we can talk about the Kansas City game a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get the point after it, but I know we could have gotten 3 points, and you probably think that way.
Yeah.
How quickly do you wipe that from your head, and or do you dwell on it at all? Do you give it a day to think about it? Or
it usually takes me a couple of days. So in general, the way we'll work is obviously we'll play on a Saturday. The guys will come in and do a recovery session on Sunday. The ones that didn't play will do some top-up work. Everybody has the Monday off. I'll still be watching film, so it's difficult for me to switch off, but it gives the most of the staff and the players the time just to kind of mentally, physically recharge the batteries, if you like. On a Tuesday morning when we come back in is when we'll do our video debrief. So this morning we go through attacking clips, defending clips, things we did well, things that we need to improve on, kind of recap it all. Once that meeting's done at 9:20, then that's it. It's kind of
all
done and dusted, put to bed, and then the focus now is firmly on Portland. And that's the way that I've worked for the last 2 or 3 years, and that's the best way. I mean, there's some games that will linger and hurt more than others, and generally it's the games that you lose or the ones that you feel like you could have got more out of. And it's funny, when you win, obviously it's great, but I always feel like that game gets put to bed quicker than what it does if you don't get a positive result. And that's probably something I need to do a better job of moving forward.
Something else coming up on the radar is the Open Cup. And
yeah,
that's obviously, you didn't really have to deal with that so much as a coach of an MLS 2 team. How the fans love it. We love the Open Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going into the...
I can't wait. I'll be honest with you. I mean, obviously coming from England with the FA Cup and the magic of that, I played in the Open Cup with Orlando and we had some really good runs as a USL team. We actually, I was talking to the staff about it the other day. We went and won in KC, so I had good memories from that stadium. We beat Colorado, we beat Chicago Fire, so I've got some good memories from the Open Cup, and I'd love our group of players to be able to experience playing against an MLS team. The draw's obviously not been kind with the travel that we're going to have to go through, and in an ideal world, would we like to be traveling that far and in amongst all the road games we've not? No, but again, it is what it is. But that's the cards we've been dealt with, and we have to find a solution and a way that we can rotate the squad as best we can to enable us to try and win and progress, because I would love nothing more than to try and get an MLS game, especially at home. I know you guys experienced that last year, but to get as many fans out and experience that and for our guys to experience it would be something that would be fantastic for everybody.
But there's the possibility of us going on a run and creating an upset. You're going to have to go up to the Tundra. And those guys are going to be up for an upset too.
That's their biggest game of the year.
Well, it's their cup final.
Right.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, listen, we've still got 3 important league games before we get there, but already I kind of know what the team talk is going to be before that game, because you know that anybody that goes into that thinking that they can take it easy and take the foot off the gas, then you run the risk of being embarrassed.
What? Oh, I thought you were pointing.
Nope.
Let's talk about Kansas City real quick.
Yeah.
1-1 draw in the big field.
Mm.
I think fair to say we had a little bit of a breakdown that led to the goal against us.
Yeah.
But I thought we had control of most of that game. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, we were pushing, and we've seen this all season where we create a lot of chances. I mean, I think we had 17 shots or something.
Yeah.
Finally, Kyle puts one in.
Yeah.
You know, and we can celebrate a little bit, but do you notice that maybe like they're gripping it a little bit? Like, we create so many chances, we got to start finishing some of these.
Yeah, 100%. You're spot on. I mean, to kind of go back and recap the game, I thought for the first half of the first half, if you like, I thought we were a little bit slow out of the blocks, which is a little bit unlike us. I mean, we put a large emphasis on starting quick, on playing in the opposition's half, on pressing early on to start on the front foot. So that was unlike us to start slow, and we gave a poor goal away, which was obviously really disappointing. And I felt it took us probably 10 to 15 minutes after that to find our feet. Around about the 20-minute mark, I thought from then on that we were the better team. I thought we possessed the ball as good as what we've possessed it. Our shape and our positioning was excellent. Defensively, I thought other than that, they created another chance first half, and the one right at the end when Sam made that incredible clearance. I didn't think they looked like scoring other than that. And
yeah.
I think, of course, we want to score more goals, and we are working on that on a daily basis. However, I would be more concerned sitting here if we hadn't created chances in the games that we've played in. When you're creating so many chances, with the players that we've got in the team, it's only going to be a matter of time before we start converting them. But having said that, we still need to keep defending well, because I think for the most part we've defended well as a team, and it was something that we emphasised this morning with the guys, is don't think that we can stop doing that and focus more on the attack and stuff, because over the course of the season, if we keep defending well as a group and keeping a good amount of shutouts, then for me that's the recipe for a successful team.
And that's been one of the things that I've seen, is that this defensive core creates a lot of transition that we haven't seen in a lot of other teams in this league, that it's very much as soon as that ball is down, they're looking at that first pass and moving it out quick.
Yeah.
You talked about it when we mentioned the first time. You talked about having a system in place and get guys buy into it. It seems to be taking shape with veteran guys back there that are getting it.
Yeah, and again, it's pleasing to see the work that we put in on the training ground come to fruition in games. Are we where we want to be? Are we the finished product? Nowhere near. But I think, and I think all the players would probably tell you that the work that we do on a daily basis is relative to the games, to the style, the way that we want to play. We do a lot of tactical work. Some of the players would probably tell you too much, but again, with having so many new players, and it's really important for me as a coach to know that everybody understands the roles and what's expected. And you touched on it, the defensive shape is important, but even more so important is what you do when you win it. And something that we talk a lot about is when we win it, make sure that we connect the first two or three passes. If we can go forward in those first two or three passes, you're going to break a line, because the opposition are going to be disorganized. And we did that probably the best we've done it at Swope the other night, and we created a number of chances from those moments, and hopefully we continue to do that.
I was going to ask, if Kyle scores 10 minutes earlier, do we go on and win the game? Because I think we would.
Definitely, yeah. And that was my... Even when we scored 88 minutes, my reaction was, get that ball back to the spot and let's get it started, because I honestly felt like we could go and nick another one. And
then
my heart was in my mouth when that header came back across goal, and I don't know how Sam did that, but
let's take a minute just to appreciate Sam Fink.
Oh my God.
He did earn Team of the Week honors from USL this week. I think, I mean, not that he didn't have a great game in general, but that one moment was a game saver.
He had more saves than Jake did against LA.
No, it was. I don't think I've seen anything like that.
I think he should be up for Save of the Week. Yeah, the goaltender's vote.
Yeah, I'd like to say he knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
he just somehow managed to manipulate his body and chest it over, and thankfully he did, because I think it would have been an absolute travesty had we walked out of there with nothing. I felt like we did enough to get all three, but to get back in the game and then to have given away a goal like that at the end would have been demoralizing. But thankfully we kept it out. Got a point, and now move on.
And as we were talking earlier too, the guys that keep coming on are impact players. Every time there's a sub, it doesn't seem to be let's change our formation. It's let's keep pressing. Let's keep moving. I mean, it's been ridiculous to
both,
see these
both
guys.
Albert and Greg, you know, made a big difference coming into that game.
Yeah, and again, but what you're saying is kind of a message that was spoken about this morning with the group, is coming back to the culture and understanding that everybody in the group has an impact or that has a part to play. And every time we bring a sub on, my last words to them before they step on the field is make an impact, make a positive impact for the team. And Dequa, Kyle, Greg, and Eddie Opoco for the 10 minutes he was on. They all had a positive impact. They made a difference. And that's what you want as a coach. Sometimes substitutions come off. Sometimes they don't. Thankfully, at the weekend, they pay dividends for us.
Makes you look like a genius.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but how about that road support for that game?
Fantastic. No, I want to go on record and say thank you to all the fans, not just for the game at Swope, but for all the guys that have come out when we've played at the park. The atmosphere has been incredible. Something that I was really looking forward to experiencing before the start of the season. And it's
a little
been,
bit different from Orlando.
Yeah, it's been great. And I know the players really appreciate it as well. So long may that continue. And hopefully we can kind of keep giving you positive results to be proud of the guys.
When our team comes over and claps us off after the game and their team doesn't, there's an impact made. I mean, that's one of the things that everybody walked out of that stadium, and I think for those that were here could agree, you felt like, okay, it was heard. It was a moment. It was a good back and forth, so to speak.
And even though they ran a lot more, we did feel like we were in it with them.
Yeah. No, it's a cliche, but I mean, it gets spoken about a lot, is having the fans as a 12th man, and the support the other night was fantastic, as it has been at home. And And like I say, it's on behalf of the staff and all the players, we really appreciate it.
And we want to thank our staff too, because after going there and seeing things not being set up correctly, and it shows the professional of it. You know, yeah, there are times when something gets missed at the park, and that happens. But, you know, they only had one concession stand open. They had not enough security guys at some points. Just the idea that every time, day in, day out, it's a professional experience at our park. This has been, you know, when you go make a trip like that, you see it firsthand. You're like, oh, no, we have it pretty good. I'm good with this.
All right, we got a few questions from fans, and then we might take a few if there's anybody here that has any. All easy ones. There's no wrong answers. So. We know Jeremy. Anytime you ask Jeremy about an injury, he just rolls his eyes and says, I'm not telling you anything.
Okay.
Because the league doesn't mandate that, and you guys don't have to. But Gomez mentioned on Twitter the other day that he's back to training.
We need to clamp down on this tweet. There's been two or three tweets from players about injuries that I've not been happy about, to be honest. So that needs to stop.
No comment.
No, I don't mind commenting. Tomas is in fantastic shape. He's on track. The plan is for him to play in the Open Cup game as his first game back, and hopefully he gets through the next week or so of training. The plan kind of goes the way we want it to, and then we'll hopefully get him through that game, and then we'll see where we go from there.
David Valentin, this is a fan from down in Orlando. He's asked a couple questions on previous shows to guys like Austin and, you know, some of the guys from down there, but
yeah,
he wants to know, because, and you mentioned earlier, you had a lot of success in the Open Cup as a player down in Orlando.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to this run, and do you think this team can have a few upsets?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, we've obviously got the three league games coming up before, but as I said, I think to go and have a run in the Open Cup would be fantastic. I mean, you saw what happened with Cincinnati last year with the media and the public attention that they got from that run, and obviously it made everybody aware of their club, and it would be fantastic if we could go anyway or even close to emulating something like that.
Just as long as we don't crash the way they did.
Well,
after.
Yeah, I was going to say, making sure that we keep our league form
that is
on
a
the
balance,
straight and narrow.
That is a balance you have to,
well, yeah,
you have to juggle.
Definitely. I mean, I'm kind of giving things away here, but I've already kind of mapped out how the lineups are going to look for the next four games, which is something I don't normally do, but because of the four games in 12 days, as a staff and as a coach, I have to look or have to have a plan in mind. So the squad's going to get rotated, but there's going to be guys that will play in that game that will be made aware of how important it is that we win and that we progress to the next round.
Matt Brown wants to know, with both Tony Walls and Wall Fall being out, we've had to change our formation a little bit from the way we started.
Yeah.
When they come back, will we still experiment with formations, or have you found something that's working, or just,
no,
just depends?
We've had, in preseason, we spent time working on two different formations, which was my plan all along. I felt like coming into a season, just having worked on one formation is not something I want to do. I want us to be flexible. I want us to be able to adapt, sometimes based off the opponent that we're coming up against, sometimes based off the personnel that we've got available. And I think it's good because you can keep the opposition guessing a little bit as well, which being on the end of that a few times last year with Orlando coming up against teams, I think Rochester, Ottawa, there were a few others where you were going into it knowing that they could potentially use two different formations and it was difficult to plan for. So that's something that I wanted to have kind of in our armory, if you like. And I think the players have bought into that fantastically well as well, because it's not easy for them to have to kind of take on board so much information and detail regarding two shapes. So we've obviously played the three at the back, we've played the four at the back. The last couple of games, obviously, we've played 4-4-2 with the two out and out forwards, and it's something that we'll continue to do and look to adapt. And again, based off the opponents we've got coming up, it's important that we've got these different formations that we can use.
Tyson Hosey, he's our fan down in, was it New Mexico that flew in?
Yes.
For a game. He wants to know, what is the team identity, or do you spend any time thinking about the team identity? And what do you want the team identity to be?
So when I hear team identity, I think of two different things. The first thing is the culture, which, I mean, the values that we live by are kind of respect, humility, discipline, honesty, integrity. Those are the things that that we pride ourselves on off the field, with kind of the environment that we want to set on a daily basis. And then with regards to playing style, I think first and foremost, we want to be defensively solid. We want to try and press teams. We want to get after teams in certain areas. And when we win it back, we want to transition quickly into attack. When we've got it, we want to be able to possess the ball. I think you've seen that, especially in the last few games. We've moved the ball through the pitch really well, with a purpose to going forward, creating opportunities and scoring goals. So in a nutshell, I don't know if that answers your question. Probably a long-winded answer, but that's kind of what we want to be.
And one of the things I've seen that you mentioned that too is that the possession came up a couple weeks ago, and we've hit on a few times, is that we'll see these stats and it shows, you know, positions kind of 60-40 or whatever.
But absolute nonsense.
But it is, because it's quality possession. That with that pressing style that we've been playing, the high pressure, the quick transition, their quality is crap. I mean, there's no other way of putting it.
No, well, I mean this with the greatest respect to Swope and the Sporting Kansas organization, because they do things fantastically well. However, you watch that game, and we watched the last three or four games leading up to it. I don't think they had a game where they had less than 65% possession. However, if you actually look at where that possession is, it's all in their own half.
Yeah,
it's all playing square back in front. And for me, that's not who I want us to be. I want us to be a team that possesses the ball well, but with a purpose to it and actually going forward and creating opportunities, rather than, because it frustrates me when I see these possession stats and people read into it far too much, in my opinion. And for me, the biggest stat for us is how much of our possession is in the opposition's half.
Absolutely.
If we can have at least 60-70% of our possession in the opposition's half, that means that we're doing our job by getting the ball forward early into the players that we want on the ball that are going to be creative and make opportunities for us.
And like Swope was on their heels a lot of times in their back third. That means
you
that
just let them have it if they're not going to do anything with it.
Well, again, and that's something that kind of we spoke about before the game, is being smart with the way that we defend and not going chasing all over the field in ones and twos, and because they've got players that can pick you apart. So we were trying to be organized and waiting for the right moments to press. And I think after the first 20 minutes, especially more so second half, we did a better job of keeping our lines connected and defending as a unit of 10 rather than just kind of twos, threes, and fours.
It's been fantastic as a fan to watch too, because it's exciting. I mean, to see a team that has control and pace and making opportunities, it's exciting football. That's all there is to it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, well, thank you for your comments. I mean, it's something that, like I say, we work on a daily basis, and it's something that we'll keep trying to improve and making sure that we're getting results with it. Because, again, going back to the process of it, it's if we keep performing well and keep doing the right things on a consistent basis, then I'm a believer that over the course of a 34-game season that the results hopefully will be a byproduct of that.
Well, one thing you've mentioned is that you are be defensively solid. Now, Lord knows we know all about Sam Fink, and we saw plenty of Sean Reynolds play for Louisville, but two guys that came into the team kind of off our radar was Fan and Kyle.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about them? Because they've kind of come in the team and done yeoman's work for us.
I think Kyle Culbertson is an unsung hero, to be honest with you. I think he does a lot of things that go unnoticed. He is extremely consistent. I think if you were going to mark somebody out of 10, he's probably a 7 to an 8 out of 10 every single week, which for me is a huge compliment for any player, especially a defender. And then Fan has come in, and I knew a lot about Fan. I watched him a lot when he was at Salt Lake as a young player, and then he went to Puerto Rico last year. And to be fair to Fan, he's not played an awful lot of games at right back. He's played the majority of his games as a centre back. He has played at right back, and obviously with the injuries we had and we moved Jonathan Barden into midfield, who's done a great job moving in there. And then with the games that we had coming up, we knew it was going to be important to have somebody that was athletic, that was strong, that could deal with the pace that the opposition had in those areas. And I think he's transitioned into the role well. There's still areas that he knows he needs to improve on, as all the players do. But we've been really pleased with all the guys.
We were actually talking about it this morning, just the three of us texting back and forth.
Kyle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad to hear that brought up, because I'm watching that game again this morning, and it's like, holy crap, he is just, he's where he needs to be every time. It's like, you don't think about him.
Like, he's one of those guys that suffers from, like, sometimes if you don't hear a guy's name, that's the biggest compliment they can get.
Yeah.
He's just handling his business, and
no, he's not going to, you know, make that amazing play, but it's because he doesn't have to. He puts himself in the position to just do it.
And you are not fighting him off the ball ever. Yeah. I mean, that's a solid, strong dude back there.
Yeah, he's extremely aggressive, and he's a coach's dream because he comes into work every day, gets on with his job, trains to the best of his abilities, no problem at all whatsoever. Like I said, consistent, great person, good player, and we're really grateful to have him.
Stuart wants to know, I mean, we talked a little bit about you have a little bit of a small squad and then you get injuries and depths and things with loans, but he wants to know about the academy kids. Obviously, we know we've got a goalkeeper's name. I'm blanking.
Seth.
Yeah.
And Jack and Aiden have already, you know, made their presence in the team. Are you looking at the academy games and are you seeing other players that might one day be a help?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to start with the three boys, I've been extremely impressed with them. Seth, as a goalkeeper, has an extraordinary amount of potential. Jack, again, has a really high ceiling. Unbelievable kid. You couldn't wish to meet a nicer kid. Fantastic attitude, great work ethic, really good player. We'll certainly get an opportunity over the next four games to play. Again, Aiden is a player that I actually saw before I came here, and somebody that I was really looking forward to working with. Again, huge amount of potential. That can play as a left back, left centre back, could play as a left wing back, and again, we'll definitely see minutes over these next four games.
Do you wish maybe he wasn't going to college?
100%. I'm not going to lie. I wish all three of them were staying with us, to be honest. But yeah, it is what it is. I'm pleased that they're getting the opportunity to go to college and play. But that's obviously something we're going to have to look at now moving forward, is making sure that we're ready to replace them. And regarding the academy, I try and get out and watch the games when I can. I was out there a couple of weeks ago. I'm in regular contact with Blake Decker about the prospects coming up, and obviously we're going as we move forward and we have the time, we need to obviously evaluate and see if there are any guys that are ready to make the step up and who we can try and integrate into training.
Do they ever come in and train with the first team?
We try and get some guys in when they can. It's difficult with school and with the time that we train, but it's something that we're going to have to look at obviously closer now. But they've obviously, the ones that, if we do bring guys in, they've got big shoes to fill with obviously Aiden, Jack and Seth, because they've been extremely good.
They've set the standard.
Exactly, yeah.
How different is it from the Orlando setup, where obviously they have an academy, but it's a bigger ladder to climb?
Yeah, with the Orlando academy players, I think there were more that did virtual school. They did online classes, so we were able to get more of them in on a regular basis. I think with it being an MLS organization that had a USL team, that there was obviously a clear pipeline, if you like, for players to come in and train and practice. So trying to get that in place here is going to take time. But I mean, listen, historically, St. Louis has produced some fantastic players, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
As long as Kansas City doesn't steal them from us.
Yeah, exactly. That is true.
I mean, we saw Kuzain on the field for them last week. I mean, not very talented young
man. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know until a few days before when Tim was saying that he's obviously a St. Louis kid and was part of the club here. And I mean, this is probably a conversation for another day, but the rules regarding academy players, for me, have to change. I think it's absolutely disgraceful how, as a club, we can develop players, and then an MLS team can come and just literally take them away.
Homegrown.
It's, there's something really wrong with the rules, and it has to change. Even with Jack and Aiden, I mean, I've been told that they've had opportunities to go to MLS teams, and fair play to them, because they've stayed and they've stuck to it. But for all the academy coaches that work within Scott Gallagher and St. Louis FC Academy,
Soccer academies. I mean, it's hard to feel sorry for Gallagher, but there's quality being developed.
Definitely.
And those guys get nothing.
That's what I'm saying. They're spending all this time and effort helping and to develop these players, and then there's absolutely no compensation, nothing for it. It has to change. And hopefully, with all the changes that are being made within US soccer coming up, that's something that gets addressed.
Amen.
Drives us nuts. We've hit on this so many times over the past couple of years. It's so frustrating, and again, for what? Nothing.
Dan Doak wants to say, this is just a personal note to Ant. He went down to the OKC game. You gave him a high five after the game, and he wants you to know that is the first away game in 9 that he has been to where he has seen the team win, and he just wants to thank you for that.
Well, hopefully he comes to some more, and he's a good luck charm for us.
All right.
So he was at Saturday, and it didn't. My streak didn't change.
So no, we got a draw. Let's be happy.
Maybe it's you and me.
Yeah, we'll just stay home from now on. We already talked about that. Dan Dawson wants to know maybe something we don't know of you outside of soccer. Do you have a life outside of soccer?
Other than the family, of course.
Yeah, but
my wife would tell you no. I think it's probably I've had less of a life since I've actually come here because I can actually go home and I don't have the kids jumping all over me and can switch off with them. It's kind of get something to eat. Right, let's watch some more film. Or
do you have any hobbies outside of the game? Or
I mean, I like reading.
Soccer books?
to do with soccer, to do with coaching, culture, high performance. I mean, I like golf. Unfortunately, the weather's not been great here, so I've not been able a chance to play. But I do like a game of golf. But no, it's for me, it's football and family.
Bo Thomas wants to know, first of all, welcome to St. Louis. And maybe can you talk about your path to the States? What brought you here originally? And,
yeah.
I mean, other than soccer, but why did you decide to come to the States?
Well, we used to come to the States as a family every year on holiday. So my aunt lives in Melbourne, Florida, and she used to work on the cruise line. So we would come over every summer and spend 2 weeks in Florida, and five of those days would be spent on a cruise. So it was when the opportunity came up in 2012 to sign for Orlando, it was something that was obviously really attractive to me because I knew the game was growing out here. I knew the area well, and it was an opportunity because I knew that I wanted to get into coaching. I knew that there would be more opportunities to coach and start getting my foot on the ladder with regards to that. And obviously then played for Orlando for 3 years and then transitioned onto the coaching side. And it's funny how things work out because my first year of being a full-time coach was the first year that Orlando had the MLS team. And then they decided to bring the USL team in the second year. And the timing was, and people were saying, like, you need doors to open at the right times. And it did, and had the 2 years coaching the B team. And here I am. So extremely blessed, extremely fortunate to be here. And we love it in the States.
When you talk to people in England about where you lived in Orlando, they're like, oh, Orlando, yeah, I know that. Well, Disney,
I know where you're going with this.
Disney World and, you know, and all that. Now you have to tell people you live in St. Louis.
Yeah.
How do you describe St. Louis to them?
So my mum came here a few weeks back. My dad was actually here as well. And mum said to me, this reminds me a lot of England. So I try and describe it as pretty similar to England. The weather, obviously, up until the last couple of days has been the same. Cold, grey, bit dreary, bit wet, bit damp. And it's obviously completely different to Orlando. But it's something that I wanted to experience because I always kind of just associated America with Orlando. And it's not like that. Obviously, travelling with the team, you get to see the different cities and the different places and experiencing a different part of the States was something I wanted to do. It's something that my wife and I felt were important for the upbringing of our children was for them to experience a different place, a different culture. And so far, I'm enjoying it. They haven't moved it yet, so I'll let you know in a few months if they like it.
You're waiting for the sunshine, eh?
Exactly.
Well, and I mean, you know, you mentioned your kids are 5 and 3.
Yeah.
They practically grew up in America. I mean,
they were born in America.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fully fledged Yanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were both born born in
Daddy
Orlando.
Talks and, funny or?
Oh yeah, they've both got proper American accents. Yeah. So that's it's been funny because every time we'll FaceTime the family back home and they just can't get over the accent because it's funny when they were born and we were discussing with friends and family, I wonder what their accents will be like. And they're like, oh, well, when they're with you, they'll probably talk with a British accent. But then when they're around their friends at school, they'll probably change. But it's not been like that at all. They're just fully blown Americans.
When your lad turns 17 or so, he'll put the English accent back on. That's how
he hopefully, especially if he goes to college and attract more females.
That's
that
what Bird does. He's got an American accent, but he just fakes it the whole time.
I'm from Alabama, really.
Last question here, and then if anybody wants to ask a question, why don't you come on over here so you're ready to ask, or go to Mitch, rather. Steve Smith wants to know, you've got a team of talented young players. I mean, all of these guys, you know, theoretically were the best in their high school and best in college. And, you know, they've made it to the professional ranks.
Yeah.
How do you keep them grounded? And is it a problem with, you know, we always hear about the athletes today or the kids today have a bigger ego or, you know, don't take well to discipline, things like that.
Yeah.
Do you find it any different? Or
no, because again, back to the recruitment, we wanted to recruit good people. So
making sure. So you weed out those problems from the beginning?
Huh?
You weed out those problems from the beginning?
100%. Yeah. Anytime that I'm interested in a player, I'll do some digging. I'll call some coaches that they've played for, some players they've played with, people that know
and
them.
You guys know everybody.
Well, that's the thing as well is probably a lot of players probably forget that as well, that there's a close-knit network within the coaching community, if you like, in the professional ranks and even collegiately, where as soon as I get wind that they're not a good teammate or they're selfish or they're entitled or as soon as I hear that, it's like, well, he may be a good player, he may have talent, not for us, push him to side and we'll move on. Having said that, you're still going to get challenged as a coach because, again, everybody wants to play, but it comes back down to the standards and the values that we set and that we make sure we reinforce on a daily basis. And listen, along the way that I am and the way that we work, it's not going to be for everybody. And unfortunately, the way that this business is and the way that we're going to be, we're going to lose people along the way. And that's the harsh reality of professional soccer and the way that, or the culture and the environment and the club that I want to build.
Okay. Say who you are and what your question is.
Spencer Hippler.
Don't be stupid.
Spencer Hippler. Two things. A, I've never seen a road win as well, so I'm still hoping for that. And I know probably at the beginning of the season, Fennelson knew that he was always going to be the number two, but with three shutouts, we haven't lost. Does it weigh harder on you to be like, oh, yeah, when Gomez comes back, he's right in there, when it's one of those things where it's like, well, we haven't lost in a while.
Yeah, well, if Jake keeps performing well and can keep in shutouts, then he's going to stay in the team. And that's the way, not just for Jake, it's for any player. If players come in, perform well, I've got no favorites, honestly. Probably some players would say, oh, that's not true. That's the way I am. If you come in the team and if you perform well and you do the job and do what's asked of you, you'll stay in the team. And until that changes, then nothing's going to alter. And coming with Jake and Tomas, we're extremely fortunate. We've got two excellent goalkeepers. Tomas has been out a while. Like I said, he's going to play in the Open Cup game. We'll see what happens over the course of the next three games, and then that'll be an extremely difficult decision that I'll have to make once Tomas is fit, and we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
You may not have favourites, but Ewan does. So you can't drop Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis is Ewan's guy.
They're the same size.
Yeah, Corey's convinced it's because of the same height. But
I have Mike McHugh. Just a quick comment. I want to tell you that, you know, like a lot of these folks, kind of been around this club since the start of things. And just to say thank you to you and the guys, because this year there was a real sense of community the first two seasons that suffered last year. And it really feels like some of that's coming back, you know, the interaction between the players and the fans that Matt was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big thing for a lot of us, you know, because last year was pretty rough, not just the results, but in terms of some of the relationship that went on between us as fans and the club. So I want to thank you for that. But you mentioned your dad. I know he's busy with his own career, but mm-hmm. Is he following the club? Is he following you? Do you get advice from him on things? Or how
yeah,
does
no.
I
or does or do you give advice to dad?
Well, yeah, that's
a bit of both. No, I'm extremely close to my dad. Speak to him most days. And I'm, again, extremely fortunate that I can call somebody or text somebody and ask a question on anything to do with managing a certain type of individual, a tactical question, because he's been doing this job for an awful long time at an extremely high level. So again, I'm blessed and fortunate that I've got somebody like that as a mentor and as somebody that I can talk to on a daily basis, and I would be stupid not to tap into that. Are there things that we disagree on? 100%. And a lot of the things that I do and the way that I work and the values that I've got are because of him. And again, growing up as a kid, for as long as I can remember, school holidays would be me spent with him 24/7. I would go into training with him. I would go and watch games with him. I'd be in the car with him while he's on the phone to agents, doing media interviews, talking to chairman, board of directors. So I've been immersed in the culture from a young age, and I'm extremely fortunate. And again, this has been my life because of that upbringing. And they've just got in the playoffs, Middlesbrough. So it was a good weekend for us last weekend as a family.
That sounds glamorous, you know, going off to games with your dad, but I can imagine it's...
Not when he was at Bournemouth and Gillingham in League 2 and League 1.
Exactly, right? I was going to say, he's dragging you to the Grimsby Reserves because there's a 16-year-old he wants
to look at. Exactly. And kind of probably my work ethic and my intensity, it comes from him. And I think back to the hours that he's put in, and he would... Look, what you're saying is spot on. He would be in the car for 4.5 hours on a Tuesday night going to watch a reserve game somewhere to have a look at a potential signing or go and look at the upcoming opponent. Because back in the early days when he started coaching, there was no video and you couldn't just go onto YouTube or ESPN Plus and watch the next opponent. So, I'm extremely fortunate to have had that grounding and upbringing, and I'm obviously proud of what he's achieved because he's had a fantastic career.
I'm Jake Getterman.
Are you Cake with a J?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Face to a name now.
Yeah. So in recent games, we've had 20 shots ourselves, and we've held opponents to 0 or 1 shots. I know both is the goal, but does one make you feel more proud or like you succeeded more than the other?
It's a good question. Both, to be honest. I want us to keep adding to the shutout tally because I think it's going to be extremely important for us as we go or move throughout the course of the season. But the shot count is great. I want to make sure that we start finishing off more of those chances. I had to do an interview this morning with somebody from USL, and the biggest thing for me, and I'll repeat what I said there, is we have defended well, but we've given away poor goals. I think when I looked, we're second in goals conceded, as in at the top, like with the least, which is great, but there's a number of those goals we conceded, in my opinion, have been really poor and really sloppy, so we have to stop that.
I didn't want to mention it, but yeah.
But, yeah, well, no, it's you're right, and it's spot on, and it's obviously something that we're looking at, and it's something that we have to improve on moving forward. Hopefully, we keep creating the chances, but we have to start being more clinical, and I'm confident we can do both.
Spencer Hippler again. I know it's real early in the season, but we're in sixth, or we could be in fourth, but scoring only one goal a game where goal differential is the second thing, does that worry you a little bit that we won't win tiebreakers like that if we are only scoring one goal a game?
To answer the first part of that question, league table position at this stage means absolutely nothing to me. I'm not one for it. After 7 games, that doesn't mean anything. Again, sounds boring, sounds cliche. The focus is on the next game to win. Goal differential, is it concern? I'd be a liar if I said it wasn't, because again, I think that tally should be higher than what it is. But if we keep continuing to do the work that we do on a daily basis, then I'm confident that will change.
You say league table means nothing, but what about the USL power ranking table?
What's that?
Don't worry about it.
It's like the FIFA rankings.
Yeah, we can't figure it out either.
Who decides that?
I don't know. There's some algorithm involved or something.
Means nothing.
Right, last one, I swear.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you explain the process of when... what's the guy we brought in from...
Opoku.
Yeah.
How much contact do you have with him? Do you just talk to his coaches and then you give him a call and say, hey, you're coming here, we can't wait for you? Or like, how much interaction do you have before that?
Okay, so obviously leading up to that that signing, we knew that signing a wide attacking midfield player was a priority. So I generally get on the phone, I'll call contacts that I've got at MLS teams and say, listen, we're looking for an attacking wide midfield player. Do you have anybody that you would look to loan out to get some games and that's available? Then they'll kind of give you a list, X, Y, and Z. These are the guys that maybe we'll look to get out. That's, again, get on the phone again, speak to some coaches, some players that have worked with him, get onto Instat, which is a video platform which has video of hundreds and thousands of games, clips on players. So once I kind of tick the box of personality, character from the ex-coaches and players that he's worked with, that's great. watch the clips. Yep, he looks like he's going to help us. Then we'll speak to the player. We obviously Columbus wanted to speak to him first and let him know that there was interest. Once they did that, I got on the phone with Eddie, had a 10-15 minute conversation with him, and then we got the flight booked, and then he got down the next day.
Speaking of Instat, actually, how much has that changed your job? Because it seems like it's just been phenomenal.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you can literally, like I say, watch any game in the world at the click of a finger. It's got clips on every single player in virtually every league in the world. So yeah, it's great, and we're grateful, obviously, that we've got a subscription as a club. It helps us with recruitment, helps us with scouting the opposition. So, an invaluable tool.
Do you find that, you know, most of these guys, like you bring him in, he's struggling for minutes at Columbus. Are they usually excited to come and get a chance to actually get back on the field and maybe, you know, prove something?
From my experience, yes, because he's young, because this is his first year as a pro, and he's obviously been in and around the Columbus squad but not actually played. I think you'll find a lot of these guys are hungry just to get minutes, to get experience. And from my own experience, it's that they've been positive. I have heard stories of other guys, maybe the ones that are a little bit older, that don't really want to go and play in USL. They're quite happy just to be comfortable and sit on the bench or sit in the stand at an MLS team and get treated nice, but not actually earn their money, so to speak.
Another question that just came in from Brawley, he wants to know, from a coach's point of view, what are the major differences in the American and English styles of play? And I know, simple one. But are there any things that you find challenging to overcome since your transition to the American game? Or is it just football?
Football is football. It's the same game.
Yeah.
It's 11v11. Virtually the same size field apart from Oklahoma City. I think the biggest differences I found moving over here was how good the players are athletically here. Virtually every player is a physical specimen, where you don't always get that in England. And then, without being too disrespectful, I think just because of the culture and how long the game's been here compared to in England, maybe the players were not as tactically astute as what they are in England. Here in the States, but I think that is improving year upon year, and it will do as the level of player goes up, as the level of coaches go up, as more money gets pumped into the game. But yeah, the biggest differences again were for me how athletic the players are here. Again, probably because of the way that everything works in college, where they do so much work in the gym and a lot of work on that conditioning side of it.
Has there been any coach, aside from the obvious, that you look at with the utmost respect, even you know, take out Pep, take out Ferguson and Wenger, is there any lower league guys that you've come across in your upbringing that you've gone, he's a top manager?
Yeah, so Eddie Howe is the name that comes to mind. I was fortunate enough I grew up in the same area as Eddie in Bournemouth. We actually played together at Portsmouth for a while when I was a young player coming through the ranks. He was a first team player that had a bunch of injuries, so was in the reserves a lot and trained with him a lot, and he's obviously gone onto a similar path where he started coaching at a young age, got Bournemouth promoted through the leagues, and now he's obviously coaching in the English Premier League, and he's somebody that I actually went in and visited a couple of years back when I went back home to England to watch him work and train, and I think he's done an incredible job there. A deep thinker, somebody that from obviously listening to in interviews with him, his players, reading a lot of stuff about him, that players have got an enormous amount of respect for him and the work that he does. And I think he's going to go on and with all due respect to Bournemouth, probably manage a bigger and a better club at some point, possibly even the English national team. So somebody like him is somebody I've got a huge amount of respect for.
Would you have it my Arsenal, Brad?
Yeah.
Our next question is brought to you by Your Electric. Call Your Electric for any of your home needs. Representing Your Electric is Mark Gardner.
Well, thank you, Mitch. Going back to the Open Cup, you mentioned that you were with Orlando when you beat Kansas City. Mm. Is there any other stories or any other moments, maybe going back to England, that you remember that really was a highlight
with a, regarding cup competitions?
Cup competitions. I mean, because there's be nothing better if we can go to Kansas City and beat those fucks. Sorry, pardon my French.
Do you have to say that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Okay.
Podcast, you can say whatever.
Yeah. So feel free to let loose if you'd like to enjoy some expletives.
You can say it about Kansas City, Mark.
Oh, by the way, that experience going down to Kansas City.
It's wild, isn't it?
Oh, man. We're on the bus, and this is watching for years, I mean, for two decades, the FA Cup, and to finally follow your team on a bus trip to go down into the big stadium to play the big team and have your day. Bird, the whole time, was just like, this is it. This is just like back home. This is the real deal. And that was our experience that day. Anyway, we're so excited about that.
Yeah, and I think, as I said before, I think it's special when you can compete in a competition against teams with a huge range of talent and ability, and know that on any given day, an amateur team, a non-professional team can beat a professional team, and teams from lower leagues can beat teams from higher leagues. So I think it's fantastic for US soccer that we've got this, and I hope that this keeps growing year upon year. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and say it's ever going to be as big as what the FA Cup is in England, but who knows? Hopefully it can get more exposure in the national media, and I hope that lower league teams continue to go on good runs, and like I said, it raises the profile of our league and even leagues beneath us.
Just not through St. Louis. No. They can do their runs elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Just something that occurred to me while you're talking. You know, growing up in a soccer household where dad had multiple jobs, were you allowed to have a favorite team growing up, or was it just whoever dad's currently working for?
No, I always supported two teams, Man United,
okay,
and then the team that my dad was coaching.
Okay.
And it's still the same now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all the questions we have. Just want to hit a couple more things before we let you go, and thank you for spending so much time with
us.
No
problem.
I want to mention Saturday morning, our friend Jacob, he plays for SPENSA. That's the Special Needs Soccer Association here in St. Louis. They've got a game at Soccer Park from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So if you're up early Saturday morning, go by Soccer Park. It's free. And Jacob would really appreciate if he had a few Luligans out there screaming for him. Saturday night, obviously, is the big event. Timbers 2 is a Cinco de Mayo party. The tailgate crew is going to have tacos and margaritas and beer. And our charity du jour for that night is Autism Speaks St. Louis. But in addition to that, we want you to bring soccer balls for Will's campaign to give soccer balls to kids for cancer. His original goal was 100 soccer balls. He got a hold of us, and we started talking about it, and other people joined in. And now they have over 400 soccer balls at his house. So he's upped his goal.
Still want that picture.
He's upped his goal. He wants to get 800 soccer balls by May 18th. That's his one-year anniversary with leukemia. And it started out, he was just going to give soccer balls to the St. Louis area hospitals dealing with kids with cancer. Now we're going all through Missouri. So these are just to give kids a little bright spot in their fight against cancer. So bring a new soccer ball to the tailgate next Saturday, and we will take that and we will get them to Will.
It is worth mentioning, Will won't be at the game.
No, he
because this is his Make-A-Wish trip.
His mom sent us a message and said he would very much like to join us at the game, but he will be at a little game called El Clasico. Make-A-Wish is sending him to Barcelona to watch the El Clasico, and we do need everybody to say a quick prayer tonight or give your good juju. He's got to get cleared by his doctors in the morning so he can make the trip to Barcelona. So, Will, we will excuse your absence for this game. And we will collect a lot of soccer balls.
But when he comes back, he's got to come talk to us.
He's got to come talk to us. He's got to tell us about El Clasico and got to tell us what our final total on balls and how many kids we made happy. So
it's been amazing. I want to thank everybody that's out there, all the listeners, all the different colleges, Select, you know, Goalkeepers Union, all these different groups that have been incredibly gracious with this. The generosity has been amazing. I mean, we do great work with Charity du Jour. This was something extra.
Pro players like Mike McGee and the Chicago Fire have had a couple of guys talk. It's been great.
It's crossing all lines. And you know, we always laugh about it that, you know, for 90 minutes we hate each other, but outside we're all a big soccer family. And this just reiterates it. It's been unbelievable, the amount of support. and keep it up, because this is going to be pretty cool.
Yep. So with that, Coach, do you have anything else you want to tell the fans of St. Louis?
Come out on Saturday and support us.
There we go.
As best you can. We really appreciate it. Let's fill the park.
Thank everybody for joining us. How about a big round of applause for Coach Pulis? That's all I got, Mitch.
Just win, baby.
Just win.
See ya. Free me from the dark dream, candy floss, ice cream. All our kids are screaming, but the ghosts aren't real.